So we're holding on page Chof Zayin in Psachim, about the middle of the narrow lines where it says Masnissin, middle of Os Nun Daled. We're in the middle of discussing the dinim of the Seder. So the Mishnah says after the first steps of the Seder, Mozgulay Kosheni, they pour or they mix for him the second cup. Mozag in Gemara terminology means to mix the wine with water, because as we learned before, the wine was very thick or strong or whatever it is, and they had to dilute it with water. So Mozgulay Kosheni, they pour him the second cup. And by the way, you have the minhag of the veldt that everybody pours a cup for each other so that everybody has derech cheiros, like somebody else is serving them, not on minhag, because what good does it do? So, okay, you're having somebody else pour you, but then you're pouring for somebody else, so you still don't have the inyan of cheiros. But different minhagim. Anyway, but kana ben shoyel ovid. At this point, when we're pouring the second cup, and then the son asks his father. So there's two ways of understanding that Ashbam explains. One is that it means can at this point, if he's smart and he's on the ball, then he's going to wonder, why are we pouring a second cup now before the meal? Mela, one cup, the kiddush, of course, but why are we pouring a second cup now? And then that'll lead him to ask other questions as well. The other way of understanding it that Ashbam brings from Rashi, in turn from his own Rebbe, that the word is not v'chan, as in here, but v'chain, as in kain v'nos tzlof chodovres, which means proper. So it's proper at this point that the son should be asking, why we're manishtana halayla hazeh. Anyway, v'im ein das v'ben, if the son doesn't have the understanding to ask oviv malamdoi, then his father has to teach him. And the questions are, manishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylis, you have the different order of the questions that you have in different nuschos, or in nusach, as we know, is to put matbilin first for a variety of reasons. So he asks about the chometz versus matzah. Shabacholos on roichon shor yurakas halayla hazem morer. Tosfos points out, by the way, there were gersois that said halayla hazem kulay morer. However, Tosfos says no, because we don't eat only morer tonight. We also eat karpas. So therefore, they take out the word kulay. The third one, this one was only in the time of the Beis Mikdash. Shabacholos on roichon boset soli sholuk umuvoshol. On all other nights, we eat meat that's roasted, or sholuk, which is cooked for a long time, or mevushal, or less cooked. There's actually different places where Rashi and Tosfos discuss what sholuk versus mevushal is, which one is regular cooking and which one is overcooking. Whatever the case, different other nights we can eat meat prepared however we want. Halayla is a kulay tzali. On this night, it's only roast meat. And earlier in the Gemara, by the way, earlier in the Masechta, the Gemara mentions this question would be specifically according to an opinion over there of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, who says that like this, you usually bring a chagiga, you usually have chagiga sador oser together with the Korban Pesach. We commemorate that now by having the Shnei Tavshilim, the Zeroya and the Beitza. So the idea is that you eat from the chagiga and you almost fill up on it, and then you eat the Korban Pesach ala soiva. The chagiga, being a Korban Shlomim, it shouldn't have, on the face of it, it shouldn't have the regular rules of the Korban Pesach as far as having to be roasted and eaten only that night, etc. Nevertheless, the Gemara explains there that Yehuda ben Tema holds that it does. So this question is specifically according to him. According to everybody else, you wouldn't say kuloi tzavi, because we're not only eating roast meat tonight. We can eat the chagiga prepared however we want. Anyway, then we continue Shabbos. Now here you have different gersois, which is why you have parentheses over here. Ein onu chayov l'tabel afilo pam achas, or onu matbilin pam achas. So the Gemara discusses actually that at first they had the gersa in front of them, onu matbilin pam achas, which means that we do dip. That on all other nights we do dip once, but the question is it necessarily so? It's not like on other nights we have a chiyuv to dip once. So then the Gemara tries changing it to einanu chayovim l'tabel after the pamachas, but the question is, even now on Pesach night, it's not a chiyuv, it's only latmiya, it's a tenoikas, it's only in order to make the kids wonder what's going on. So therefore the nusach became, as we have it in our Haggadah, einanu matbilin after the pamachas, meaning we're not even required to dip one time, and tonight halay lazeh shtei pam. So those are the questions. Nowadays, we don't have the one about meat, but instead we have the one about Misubin. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, they didn't ask that one, because as it is, they recline at their meals all year round. So that's the fact is, even the Tibul v'melach, you're not actually required to anyway. La halacha, if the bread contains salt, as pretty much all bread nowadays does, then you're not required to dip it in salt anyway. But in any case, another point is more likely that tibol usually means in some kind of liquid, and so that would exclude salt. But anyway, regardless, so you have so those are the questions. Or the feed diet to Shoben over Malambe, depending on how much the son can understand, is how the father teaches him. The Rambam gives some graphical examples of it in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, which was not so long ago in Perek Echad of Rambam, that he illustrates that if the kid is really little, then you tell him, look at that slave, look at that maid over there, and that's how we were in Mitzrayim and Hashem took us out. And then if the kid is smarter, then you're able to explain to him on a deeper level. So that on all of the nights, we're not required to dip our food even once. In practice, we find throughout Shas that when they ate, they regularly dipped their food in some kind of sauce or condiment or whatever, but you're not... so that's the thing. So you have different... That's what I'm saying. You have different gear stories over here. The Gemara goes through a few possibilities. We end up saying, but the original girsa was onu matbilin pamachas. We dip once, but the Gemara asks, that would imply that we have a chiyu to dip every other time, and we don't. So then the Gemara tried, einanu chayovim l'tabal afilu pamachas. We're not required to dip even once, but that doesn't work either, because even on a Seder night, we're not technically required to, we're not technically required to dip. We do it lakmiya, so to note this, we do it in order to make the kids wonder what's going on. So therefore, that's the nusach eventually became, as we have this, therefore, Rava ends up saying in the Gemara, the proper nusach is, and this is how we have it, in all Haggadahs, einanu matbilin afilu pamachas. This that we say, by the way, on the other hand, this that we say, onu oichlin shol yirokas, that's not such a question, Tosfos points out, because onu oichlin shol yirokas doesn't suggest that we have a chiyuv to eat other vegetables, just that in practice we do. But onu matbilin pamachas sounded more like we had a requirement to do it. The father teaches the son according to his das, maschul b'gnus m'sayim b'shevach. He begins by talking about the degradation of the Jewish people, and he finishes by talking about the praise of how Hashem took us out of that. What that means, we'll see in the Gemara, two possibilities. The Dorish Me'ar Rami Ovid Avi Achi Yigma Kala Parasha Kula, and then he darshins, posik by posik, the section, the parish, the psukim that a person says when he brings Bikurim, from a Rami, from a, what? Did I? I said, Maschol B'Gnusim Asayim B'Shevach. He begins with the degradation of the Jewish people and ends with the praise of how Hashem took us out of that situation. The Dorish Me'arami Ovidavi, and then he darshins posik by posik from Arami Ovidavi, and Shiyugim will call up Parasha Kula until he finishes that Parasha, until he finishes those psukim that a person says when he brings Bikurim that are at the beginning of Parasha's Kisavai. So we have that, and I've got it, of course, we quote. Shanema Arami Ovidavi Vayir Mitzrayma Onus Api Adibu Vayogosham, etc., and we darshin it phrase by phrase. We don't have, by the way, now there is one posik of what the person says there in praise of Hashem, where he finishes off after he says, Vayitzeinu Hashem b'Mitzrayim, then there's another pasuk there, Vayivienu ala mokam azeh, Vayitzen manu asa eretz azeh, is eretz zavas chol v'dvash. We don't darshin that in the Haggadah. So there are different explanations about that. Yesh omrim, that they did do that when the Beis Mikdash was standing and we're in Eretz Yisrael, but nowadays, then after the Churban, we don't do that. But there is an interesting explanation from, don't remember now from who I think maybe the Rashbats, that says that actually when we have at the end, Kamamala's Dayenu and Kamamala's Tovus Lamakam Aleinu and all that, where we finish it off, that Hashem brought us into Eretz Yisrael and Benosim Lanu and the Ubon Lanu has based up Chidol HaChapra HaKol HaVeneseinu, that is in a sense a drosha on those psukim, because that's exactly what we're saying, that Hashem brought us to this land and brought us to this place of the Bis Mikdash and gave us this land. So the Gemara says when we say Maschol B'Gnusim Asayim B'Shevach, when we say that we begin with the degradation and we end with the praise, so what does that mean? My B'Gnus, what degradation are we talking about? Rab Omer Mitzchila Odavid Azara Hoyu Avisenu. So Rab says it means that we have to begin with the fact that our ancestors worshipped idols, which is a terrible degradation. And therefore, we finish off by saying that we continue by saying, and we talk about how Hashem gave us the Torah and so forth. The idea being, in other words, Marshall says, when a person is having tremendous simcha, he should remember the lowly state and the degradation that he was in before, so he doesn't get too proud. So we have to begin by reminding ourselves that we don't come from such a great background. We come from Ovid Avodah Zarah. We have to begin by saying that we were slaves to Paro, and then Hashem took us out of there. So in practice, we do both. Now, why do we put Avodim HaYinu first? On the face of it, Netchilo Oved Avod Zara Hayu Avisenu came earlier, because that goes back to Terach. So the Avod Raham explains, since you have different Gisois over here in the Gemara, who are the Amoraim who are arguing on this? Here we have Rav and Shmuel, respectively, but you have other Gisois where it's Abaya and Rava. So we have here Rava in parenthesis, and there's a Girsa that the opinion Netchilo Oved Avod Zara Hayu Avisenu is Abaya. And since the halacha is usually like Rava over Abaya, so that would be one reason why to put Avodim HaYinu first. On the side over here, in Yad Yosef, it brings something from the Maharal Sefer Gvuras Hashem, which is an entire sefer about Yitzias Mitzrayim and all kinds of explanations according to Hakira and according to Kabbalah and so forth. Anyway. So basically, first of all, he brings Taka the Girsa Abaya and Rava respectively. And the point is, the theme of the Savior is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why should we be mentioning the Tchilo Oved Avod Zara Hayu Avisenu? Yes, it's important to know that, but that has nothing to do directly with the theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim. On the other hand, Abaya or Rav or whoever it is the Girsa, is saying that so once we have to mention, we're mentioning that Hashem took us out from the Gnus of Mitzrayim, then we also have to mention the greater Gnus, an even greater Gnus than being slaves, is that our ancestors worshipped idols, and the Asher Tevonu Amakam Avodase. So therefore, so we do both of them. Right, but the point is, we put Avodim HaYinu first, and only later on do we do Metchila Avod Avod Zara Hayu Avisenu. So we're putting Shmuel's Avodim HaYinu Lefarai before Rav's Metchila Avod Avod Zara. And again, one reason is because the halacha is like Rava over Abaya, and again, there's also the point that given after all, I mean, fundamentally, the child is asking Manishtana Alayla Azeh, and the theme of tonight is Yitzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, we need to start right away with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Only afterwards will we go back and talk about the roots of it. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amalei Rab Nachman the Doru Avdei. Rab Nachman one time at the Seder says to his slave Doru, he asks him, Avdei the Mapikle Morei Lachemus. Imagine an Eved whose master frees him, the Yehov the Kasper the Davda, and he gives him gold and silver. My boy, what ought such a slave to say to his former master? Omalei, so Dora says, boy, Duriel Shabuchi. Of course, he has to praise and thank his master for doing that. Omalei, said Rav Nachman, says, oh, Ptautan Lema Mema Manishtana. With that, you've patterned us from saying Manishtana, Postach Va'omra, Avodim HaYinu, and he right away started, like Shmuel, saying Avodim HaYinu. Now, that's a little bit difficult to understand, because what do you mean? It patterned from saying Manishtana. There was no, you have to have the Kana Ben Shoyl, you have to have the son is asking the questions. Here, Rav Nachman is asking the question, and it's not anything of the format of why are we doing these things unusually tonight. So in fact, the Rashbam and a number of other Rishonim, what? That's right. So on the face of it, then Rav Nachman should be saying the actual Manishtana. So in fact, the Rashbam does not have the words Ptautan Lomema Manishtana. The Rashbam, and so do a number of other Rishonim, don't have that. They just say Posach Vama Avodim HaYinu, meaning, in other words, that Rav Nachman is just using this as an introduction to Avodim HaYinu, so that we should appreciate it more, so that we should. Like this, we say Avodim HaYinu, we could feel it as just words. I mean, later, the Mishnah says, after all, you know, behold, Avodim Luras Asatzmai, Kielahu Yotzim Mitzrayim, but it may be a little hard to internalize that. So therefore, Rav Nachman has this dialogue with his Eved first, and that way it really drives home to him and to everybody at the table what Avodim HaYinu really means, what we're thanking Hashem for. With that said, and earlier also, actually, the Gemara has a little piece where it mentions one time at Rabba's Seder, Abaya, who was his nephew and who, as we know, was a Yosim, he was little at the time, and we know when it comes to this point in the Seder, we take away the table. That was back then where they had individual tables for each person. Nowadays, we just cover the matzahs, or in some kahilas, they have the minute, they actually remove the Seder plate from the table. Whatever, anyway, they did that. And little Abaya was, you know, he can't have been, the Gemara doesn't say how old he was, but, you know, you have to figure, he can't have been more than 3 or 4 years old, is wondering why we're taking it away when we haven't even started the meal yet. And Rabba says the same thing as you. So there, at least, it might be a little easier to understand, because at least Abaya is asking something. With that said, though, nevertheless, the Rashbam and Tosfos discuss over there, maybe even there, not necessarily doesn't mean you're completely patterous from saying the entire Manishtana. Maybe all it means is it patterous from the beginning of it, the Manishtana, Alayla, Zemikol, Alaylas, but you still have to have the rest of the questions. You still have to ask about all the other unusual things that we're doing tonight. So the same, and Tosfos mentions in that connection, this Gemara over here, where also Reb Nachman doesn't necessarily mean Tauten, Lemema, Manishtana, as in we're completely potter and we don't have to say the four questions at all, but rather that at least, you know, to a certain extent, it patterned from some part of it, but we still have to do the rest of them. And so then he says, I've ordered money. An interesting point is, a couple of interesting points about this. The Chidah mentions that we find in other Gemaras that Rav Nachman himself says about the same slave Daru, he says he's not even worth the food he eats. He eats so much and he doesn't really do much of useful work. So therefore, so now, if Rav Nachman were to ask Daru, what would you think if I freed you? Daru wouldn't be happy about it. He'd be upset. Now I lose all the free food I'm getting. Therefore, Rav Nachman adds the detail and he gives him gold and silver, implying now if that were the case with you, you'd have enough money to buy now food for yourself. And then Daru says, in that case, I'd be very grateful. And Rav Nachman says, well, that's how we should feel towards the Eibishter. Ben Yehoyada makes another point as well. Imagine you have a person, Taka, who was in a degraded state, like a slave, and then all of a sudden he becomes rich. So now he wouldn't want to call attention to the fact that he used to be in a lowly position. After all, he's rich now. He wants people to know him as he is now. Therefore, that's why Rav Nachman makes the point of both. We were degraded as slaves, and Hashem gave us the gold and silver. It's not that we should be focusing on the gold and silver and saying we don't even want to remember that we were slaves anymore. No, we have to mention that point too. We do have to say Avod Magin. Okay, the Mishnah continues. If a person has not said the following three things on Pesach, he's not Yotze. And here you have a major machloikus. What does that mean, he's not Yotze? Does it mean he's not Yotze the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh themselves? Does it mean he's Yotze them, but he's not Yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or does it mean he's Yotze both of them, but he's not Yotze in the proper way? Maybe La Yotze Yidei Chayvase just means that he's not doing it in the ideal way. So you have different understandings among the Rishonim. Anyway, the Elohim Pesach Matzah Umaru. Pesach al Shum Shapasach Hamakam Abati Avasenim Mitzrayim. We eat the Korban Pesach because Hashem jumped over the houses of our ancestors in Mitzrayim. Shenema Vamartim Zevach Pesach Ula Hashem Shapasach Lagomer. And by the way, you know, we have in our Haggadahs, we have to say Pesach Shahoyu Avasenu Uchum Mizman Shabes Mitzvah Kayim al Shumma. When there is a Korban Pesach and when Mashiach comes very soon and there will be one, then we'll say, just like we say by Matzah and Mor, Pesach Zesh Onu Uchlin al Shumma, etc. Marshall has a long and fascinating explanation over here about, in general, by mitzvahs, we don't find the kind. Now, Marshall apparently is taking, according to the opinion, that what Gamliel means that if a person has not said these things, he's not actually yotze the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh. So the question is, Marshall asks why. Usually we have a concept of saying a bracha on a mitzvah, but you don't usually find that, first of all, you have a bracha, we say a bracha ala chilas matzah. Where else really do we find that you have to specifically speak out the reason why you're doing the mitzvah in order to be yotze? And so he explains that all of these things, when it comes to the Korban Pesach and the other things, we were sunk in the Tumah of Mitzrayim. People were worshipping Avodah Zarah and whatever. And here the Eibishter is schlepping us out of there and bringing us to serve him. So therefore, the same way we find that alone out of all the Korbanos, the din is the Korban Pesach and the Korban Chatas have to be brought l'shma. Every other korban, if you bring it shalor l'shma, the korban is valid. The owner is not yotze his chiyuv. This was in Shlosha Parakim of Rambam a few days ago. But the person is not yotze his chiyuv, but the korban itself is kosher. The pesach and the chatas, if they're shechted or any of the avodas are done shalor l'shma, is completely possible. Why? Because those two korbanos are specifically about the idea of a person getting himself out of tumah and coming into kedusha. So therefore, for the same reason, here, when a person is going to be eating Pesach, Matzah, and Moreh, he actually has to speak out the fact that Hashem took us out of that tumah and brought us closer to him, and therefore we actually have to speak it out, and without that, we're not properly yotz of the mitzvah. And then he also goes into another interesting arichos on the point, So you have, we're saying that the we matzal shum shen nigalo are resenim with shine because the dough didn't rise. We have a famous question, which Marshall is not the first one to ask it and not the last one to ask it. What about the fact that they ate matzah before they even left Mitzrayim? They just told them to get out of tokhu matzahs. So Marshall explains a long thing that matzah represents coming close to Hashem as opposed to chametz represents kodesh satuma, and therefore when a person, so we have that already that night then, they're having to eat matzah to show that they're coming close to Hashem, and then afterwards there's the separate thing that Hashem revealed Himself, and therefore from then on we eat matzah every year Pesach in commemoration of that. There's a maimon in Likutei Torah that talks about in a somewhat similar vein. It talks about those two concepts of eating matzah, and you have matzah is choser without written. One place it's written without the vav, and another place it's written with the vav, where you have the idea that there was a special gilui shechina that you had that one year before Yetzias Mitzrayim, before they ever received the Torah even. And therefore they're eating matzah because of that. And then you have separately, there's Shenigla'aleh, Melch Macha, Melch Macha, Melch Kodesh Baruch Hu Golam, the next day, which is already a different level of a lakus, which that one we keep, that we continue doing year after year. So that you have the one time thing that they had in Mitzrayim, and then you have the Gilu Shechina that you had by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where that one continues every year and the matzah we eat by night reflects that. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. In every generation, and the Alter Rebbe adds in Tanya and Perek Mem Zayin, and every single day, a person has to picture himself as though he left Mitzrayim. The Alter Rebbe explains over there the point in Tanya that it means also a person every day has to know that he can get out of his Mitzorim Ugvulim and come close to the Eivishter. Shenema, the God to the Vinchamayim Mohulim, Rabuza, also Hashem, leave it tasting in Mitzrayim. Marsha points out, by the way, when you get down to it, some of the people who left Mitzrayim did come into Eretz Yisrael. So they don't yet, at the beginning, have to be the God to Levincha. They don't have to lure us as Atzmi Ki'ilu who Yotzim Mitzrayim. They themselves actually did physically leave Mitzrayim. People who were below 20 years old at Yitzhak Mitzrayim, people who were older than 60, Levi'im, etc. Nevertheless, the Pasuk is talking, Torah Al-Roy Sadamber. Eventually that generation is going to pass away and you're going to have a generation where they themselves didn't experience it and they just have to chayiv on them lure us as Atzmi. Then we continue, Lefichach, therefore, Anachnu Chayavim Lahodes, Lahalo, Lashabeach, Lefora, Lerayim, Lahadu, Lavorach, La'al, Lekalis. We have to give all kinds of different praises. We have 9 expressions of praise over here. And then we have at the end, V'noim, Lefonim, Hallelujah. That's the 10th one, as Gemara is going to talk about soon, that there are 10 expressions of praise to Hashem, Tilim, so corresponding to that, we have 9 in this Bracha plus Hallelujah at the end. On the other hand, Tosfos brings a Girsa, according to which you only have 7, corresponding to the Shiva Rekiyim. Anyway, Lamisha also Valavasan Valonus for Nisima Elu, for Hashem who did all for our ancestors and for us all these Nisim, Hotzion Abdus Lacheros, Miyogan Lasimcho, Meva the Yantov, or Mafela Godum the Shiva Lagula, the name of the fun of Hallelujah. You have Tosfos brings a girsa, and you can find this girsa in Nusach Ashkenaz HaGadol, where the words are v'nema l'fon of Shira Chadosha Hallelujah. Meaning, Tosfos says, we're not talking about that la'osid lover, we will be saying a new song to Hashem, because that wouldn't be Shira Chadosha in the feminine, that would be Shir Chadosh in the masculine, as we say at the end of the Baruch, v'noid l'cha Shir Chadosh. Because you have the famous thing that the Medrash says, all of the other Geulas were like a Nekeva. A woman gives birth, but afterwards she goes through the same Tzara all over again with the next birth. On the other hand, the Geula Hasidah is going to be She'ein Acharei HaGolus, so therefore that's compared to a male who never experiences these pains. So anyway, Tosfos brings a girsa, and you can find it in some Haggadahs, v'nemar l'fon of Shira Chadosha Hallelujah, meaning that we're acknowledging that then, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, they sang a new song to Hashem, namely Oz Yashiv. Okay. At this point, we say part of Hallel, ad heichanu oimer, at till what point do we say Hallel? Now, earlier in the Masechta, we learned that when they were eating the Korban Pesach, they would say Hallel. So they would say part of Hallel while they're eating the Korban Pesach, and the rest afterwards. We learned before that afterwards they had to eat the Korban Pesach indoors, because you can only eat the Korban Pesach in one place, and then afterwards we said they'd go up onto the roofs to sing the rest of Hallel, because it's more roomy and airy over there. So by the same token, we don't have a Korban Pesach, but by the same token, we say some of the Hallel before we eat the matzah, and the rest of it after that. So up to what point do we say during Magid? Veshama imim ad ema bonim smecha. So Veshama says only the first parak. Or Veshila imim ad chalom shmaine moyim. And Veshila says the first two prakim. And of course we follow Veshila. In the Gemara explains that Veshama says, why should we be saying the Tzeis Yisrael when it's before Chatzos even? The Tzeis Yisrael hasn't happened yet. But Veshila answers them and says that nevertheless that's how we have to do it. There are Mefarshim, in fact, to explain that really the first two Prokim of Hallel refer to the events of the past of the Gola from Mitzrayim, and the ones from there on, from Lo Lanu Hashem until the end, are primarily relating to the Golas, to the Golas Hasid, the Gola Mitzvah Hashlema, and therefore that's why that's an appropriate place to break on. Next, the Chosim, the Gola, and then after saying Hallel, after you say Magid, you finish off with a Bracha thanking Hashem for the Gola. What is that now? Now, that was just the Tanakhama saying, Tosfos explains, this is just the Tanakhama saying, generically, you need a bracha of Geula. Now, what is the nusach of that bracha? Rabbi Taufan and Rabbi Akiva are going to be disagreeing what that nusach is. Meaning, you don't have three opinions over here, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Taufan and Rabbi Akiva. You have the Tanakhama saying a generic statement, and then Rabbi Taufan and Rabbi Akiva arguing what that generic statement means. You have a number of other examples of that in Shas here and there. Anyway, Rabbi Taufenheimer, the bracha is Asher Ga'alanu V'Ga'alas Avisenim Mitzrayim. Hashem redeemed us and redeemed our ancestors from Mitzrayim. V'loy ha'yachosim, and you don't finish off. You have Nuschos that add, that Rabbi Taufen also adds, which we have in our Haggadahs, the Yonu Azah Alayla Azah Lecha V'matzo Amor. But according to Rabbi Taufen, this is a short bracha. This is similar to the brachas on fruits and on mitzvahs and things like that. It's a one-line bracha, and therefore it doesn't finish off with another barachat Hashem. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to continue. Kain Hashem alekeinu v'lekei avisenu yagi'enu l'moidiv l'ugolam acheinu aboim l'kaseinu l'sholim. Hashem should also bring us to reach future yom tovim and future regolim aboim l'kaseinu l'sholim that will come to us in peace. Smechem v'vinyan irecha, we should be happy with the rebuilding of your city, v'sosim v'avodah secha, and joyful in your avodah, v'noichol shem. Or you have the different Yosos, Minazvachim, Minapsachim. We have in our Haggadah, we have the difference between whether the Haggadah is, whether the Seder is Motzei Shabbos, where then we flip around the order versus other times we say Minazvachim, Minapsachim. Again, based on this idea of that if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, you don't bring the Chagiga, so therefore you have Minapsachim first and then Minazvachim. A number of Achronim are against that. For example, Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Haggadah points out, look, I mean, okay, so this year Pesach is coming out Motzei Shabbos. Who says next year it's going to be? So why should we be saying something now for what we don't know what the Kriyas is going to be next year? So therefore, so in many Haggadahs, they don't change the order, and they say Minazvachim and Apsachim all the time. We have Taka Minazvachim and Apsachim, or Minazvachim and Apsachim, depending what day of the week it is. V'chulo, you continue, Ad Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, and now, according to Rabbi Akiva, now, this is a bracha arucha, this is a long format bracha, because you're not only thanking Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim, you're also asking that Hashem should rebuild the Bais Mikdash and help us celebrate future Yom Tovim and so forth. So now it's a bracha arucha, and therefore that has to end with a separate bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. The Rambam, in fact, paskins in a way like both of them. He says, when the Bais Mikdash is standing, we go according to Rabbi Taufan, and when the Bais Mikdash is destroyed, like now, then we go according to Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara eventually, now we say parts of Hallel. We said V'noim Alafon of Hallelujah, and we start saying Hallel, which also begins with Hallelujah. So now the Gemara starts a discussion about, there's a number of words in Tanakh that end with Yud, with a Yud and a He. Now, the question is, some of them, are they one word or are they two? Now, the Rashbam points out, you have a number of places in Tanakh where you have words that end with a yud and a hey, and it has, at least on the surface, nothing to do with Hashem's name. It's a style of Lashon Kodesh that sometimes a word that wouldn't have a suffix, or that would have a different suffix, instead has a yud and a hey. For example, we have in Tefillah of David that we say by Shir Shoyim, the Tzalta Nafshi, Mishel Tachtiya. The usual word would be Tachtis. But it's a poetic style to say Tachtiya instead. You have other examples in Yechezkel, you have an expression Ba'abinya, where usually the word would be Ba'abinyon. So the Gemara is not wondering about those. There's no question that that's just a stylistic thing, and the Yud and the Hay over there, at least on Pshat level, are not Hashem's name. But you have a number of phrases in Tanakh where the question is, one of them being Hallelujah, is it that the Yud and the Hey are the name of Hashem, or are they part of the word and therefore they're just they're just a suffix? So Amar of Chista, Amar of Yechanan, Hallelujah, the Kesia, the Yedidya, Shem Achasem. You have Hallelujah. You also have at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, you have Ki Yod Al Kes Yud Kei, where Moshe says that the hand of Hashem is on his throne, swearing that Amalek will be destroyed. So again, is it Kes Yud Kei, the throne of Hashem, or is it one word, Kesia, meaning the throne, basically? And similarly, Yedidya, you have in Sefer Shmuel, it tells how when Shloima Amalek was born, so Bathsheba named him Shloima, but then it says Nosan Anavi came with a message from Hashem that he should also be named Yedidya, which means the friend of Hashem. Bavur Hashem, the passage says, because Hashem loves him. So again, is it Yedid Yudke, is it that he's naming him the friend and separately of Hashem, or is it one word, Yedidya? The Nafimina would be, then could you erase that Yud and that Hey? Now you have a lot of names like that are like that, Marsha points out. You have a lot of words.
Yeah,
but the point is, in other words, if it's all one word, then you would technically be allowed to erase that letter, those letters. Lemaisa, of course, you have many people whose names are like that. You have names like Yedidya and Shmaya and Eliyahu and so forth, where people write it with a tick in order to be careful not to erase Hashem's name. But technically, al pi halacha, those names don't have kedusha, and you would technically be allowed to erase them. Because it's all one name, it's not, yeah, I mean, it includes the name of Hashem in it, but nevertheless, there's still, Marsha points out, you have a lot of examples, Chizkiah, Yirmiah, Zechariah, Tzfaniah, a lot of names ending with Aleph Lamed as well. So the difference is, in other words, if we say, when it comes to Yedidya, now Yedidya in a certain sense is not really, I mean, it is nothing to say that his name is Yedidya, but we never find Shloima actually called by that name any place else. So it's really more title. So that's the question. Is it a title, Yedid Yudke, and in that case, Yudke is a name of Hashem and can't be erased like any other one, or is it just a name like any other name, like Chizkiah and the other ones, and therefore there's no problem erasing it? That's what the question boils down to. So now, Rav Chista is saying all of these are all, each of those is one word. Pirush, ki yod al kes yudke, kama yud, kama kise. For example, when it says ki yod al kes yudke, it's just as another way of saying the kise, the throne. So that was according to Rav. That was according to Rav Chista. The Rava or the Rav Omar, Rava or Rav disagrees and says, Kesia Omer Chavya Achasein. He says, Kesia, I agree, is one word. I'll mention another one, which the Gemara is going to ask, what does Rav hold about the other ones that are different and mentioned? But anyway, Rav mentions another one, Merchavya. Min ha-metzer korosi yo noni ba Merchavya, we have in Hallel. So again, min ha-metzer korosi yudke, there the name yudke is obviously the name of Hashem, but noni ba Merchav yudke, again, is it Hashem answered me in a wide way, with relief, or is it that Merchavya is one long word meaning with tremendous relief? Mephoshim, by the way, point out sometimes also you'll find even when a name of Hashem is separate, but for example, you'll have Tzidkos Kaharei Kael and other things like that. Many times what it is Mephoshim explain that when the Pasuk wants to say that something is very big or very powerful, so it associates it with the name of Hashem. So the same way over here, Merchav Yudke could mean a tremendous breadth, a tremendous wideness, and therefore we're putting Hashem's name with it to show how great it is. Or it can mean Hashem answered me in a wide, spacious way, and then it would be an actual name of Hashem. So Rava is saying that Merchavya is one word. The Rava Omer Merchavya Bovad, Rava says, out of this whole list, only Merchavya is one word, the rest of them are each two words. So we have the question, Merchavya le Rav Chista mai? What would Rav Chista say about Merchavya? Rav mentioned it, and Rava mentioned it, but Rav Chista didn't. What does he hold about it? We can't be sure what he holds about it. Ibarilahu Yedidya le Rav mai? What would Rav say about Yedidya? He doesn't mention it. Toshma de Omer Rav, we can prove from another statement that Rav said, Yedidya nechlok ashnayim. The word Yedidya is actually written as two words in Tanakh. Lefichach yedid chayov yudkei kodesh. So therefore, the word yedid is like any other word. You could erase it if necessary. But the yudkei is a name of Hashem. Now, we in our Tanakhs don't have that. Many of these ones that we're mentioning over here, the Hallelujah, we have almost always as one word in Tillim. There's one exception. in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey, Hallelujah, Ketev Hashem, Zamer L'Shem HaKinoyim, where there the Hallelujah and Yud Kei are separate words. Other than that, they're always one word. Case Yud Kei at the end of Parashas B'Shalach, we have in our Sifrei Torah as two words. Yedidya in our Tanakhs, we have as one word. So we're sort of mixing and matching over here. B'chol, when it comes to things of Masorta, many times, even when we find very clearly in the Bavli that the Masorta of how a word is to be spelled or pronounced is a certain way, we often find that the Bavli and Masorta, most of whom lived in Eretz Yisrael, held differently, and we generally follow them. Iboilahu, Hallelujah, Ladavmai. What would Rav say about Hallelujah? Again, Rav Chista mentioned that, but Rav did not. So Toshma, we can prove from another thing. The Amar Rab, Chazina Lahula Tehile, the Rab or the Bei Chabibi, I saw the Sifrei Tilim of my uncle's household, that my uncle, Rab's uncle, being Rav Chia, the Chtid Behu Halalu B'Chad Gisa. Chabibi literally means my beloved one. It means my beloved. The same way as in Lashon Kodesh, the word doid can mean beloved and also uncle. The same way in Aramaic, the word Chavivi can mean my uncle and can mean my beloved. Anyway, so I saw in the Tillims from Avchia's household or from his Beis Medrash, Yichtivuhu Hallelu B'chad Gisa V'Yudke B'chad Gisa. They had the word Hallelujah was actually divided. You'd have sometimes the word Hallelujah at the end of one line and Yudke at the beginning of the next line. So obviously then it's completely two separate words, and therefore the Yudke is the name of Hashem and can't be erased. Sometimes, by the way, you have in Halacha, elsewhere, for example, the Gemara talks about, you know, you have, for example, in next week's parasha, you have the name Kedor La'Omer. The Gemara discusses that might be actually two words, Kedor La'Omer. Now, in our Sifrei Torah, it's written as one word, but the Gemara discusses the possibility that might be two. But even if it is, you would have to write them both on one line. You have other things like that also. Beis El, for example, is written as two words, but the Halacha has to at least be written on one line. You can't write Beis at the end of one line and Kedor at the beginning of the next one, because that would be putting them too far apart. Here, Rav is saying, in these Tillims, you actually had Hallelujah and then Yud Kei at the beginning of the next line, showing that the Yud Kei is completely separate and it's a name of Hashem. However, Upligid the Rabbi Shua ben Levi, now that disagrees with what Rabbi Shua ben Levi says. The Omer Rabbi Shua ben Levi, my Hallelujah, Hallelujah, but Hallelujah is Harvey. He says the word Hallelujah means praise Hashem with many praises, which means he holds it's one word. And again, the Yud Kei over there is just to intensify it, like Harerei Kale and other such expressions. Upligid the day Adidei. However, then, what Rabbi Shua ben Levi is saying about that contradicts another thing that Rabbi Shua ben Levi says. Sefer Tilim has 10 different expressions of praise to Hashem. B'nitzuach, you have lamnatzeach. B'nigun, al niginos, and other such things like that. B'maskil, you have kapitlach that begin with maskil, l'dobin, and so forth. Maskil, and azrachi, mizmer, b'mizmer, b'shir, b'ashrei, b'tehila, b'tefila. You have a few kapitlach that begin tefila, l'dobin, or tefila, l'moshe, b'hoidah, Yoducha Hashem Kol Maasecha, for example, over Hallelujah, the Godel Shebekolam Hallelujah, Shekoil Shem Beshevach Bevasach. So the Shavon Levi says, out of all of them, Hallelujah is the greatest of all of them because it incorporates the praise and Hashem's name all in one word. So therefore, according to that, it comes out that he's saying the Yud Kei is a name of Hashem, but it's being put together in the word with Hallelujah, with Hallelujah, unlike before. He was saying that it just means Hallelujah, but Hallelujah is Harbe, praise him with lots of praises. So in the back of the Gemara, one of the Mephoshim there, Rabbi Lozim Moshe Horowitz, suggests that maybe, you know, how do we reconcile these two things of Rabbi Shoban Levi? You can say he's talking about different Hallelujahs. Again, you have one in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey that is actually written as two separate words, and you can find it that way. The Siddur Tilos Hashem, by the way, does not. They printed it as one word. They are the same as anyone else. But if you look in the Siddur Torah Ur, for example, which is much more accurate, you'll find there it's actually written as two words with a makif between them. Anyway, so one of Rabbi Shua ben Levi's statements can be referring to that one. The second statement, he might be referring to that particular one in Kapitel Kuf Lamed Hey, and the other one where he says Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Harbe, is referring to all the other Hallelujahs. Why dafka are there ten lashonas of praise to Hashem in Tilim? So Marsha points out, you have many times 10 is associated with different levels of kedusha. For example, you have at the beginning of a Masechta Kelim where it describes 10 levels of Kedusha within Eretz Yisrael working all the way up to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Basoram Amoris Nivra Olam. In general, many things of Kedusha are associated with the number 10, and the 10th is the highest of all of them. In the same way here, you have 10 Lashonis, of which Hallelujah is the highest. Okay, The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shir Shabbat Torah Moshe V'Yisrael Amru B'Shal Sha'ol Yisrael Min Hayam. The shir that's in the Torah, meaning Oz Yashir, the Moshe and the Jewish people said it when they came out of the Yam Suf. Now we know that. The point is, in other words, that Ashbam is saying, you shouldn't think that maybe it existed before that, and maybe they repurposed it. No, it was composed specially for the occasion. But the halal zemi omrei. What about the halal that we say by the seder and on other occasions? Who first composed that? So neviim shebeneim tiknu lahem liyisrael. The neviim who were at that time among the Jewish people, which could include Moshe Rabbeinu himself, it would include the other neviim anyway. They were misakin that the Jewish people shiyu oimim oisav gul losam. They should say it when they're redeemed. Va'alko perek uperek va'alko tzara v'tzara shleitove aleihem. For every event or for every tzara that shouldn't come on them, which is a nice euphemistic way of saying that does come on them, but we're saying that it shouldn't, it should chas v'shalom not happen that such things come on the Jewish people. So if it does happen, when they're redeemed from that trouble, for example, Hanukkah, then we say it in gratitude for Hashem for the Geula. The point being, Maharsha says, in other words, that now we're going to have later on, the Gemara brings different opinions about who composed this hallow, but here the Gemara is saying one opinion that it was in fact composed at that time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but not that it wasn't written in the Torah, it was left to be written in Sefer Tehillim, and the Nevi'im then said that people, that we should be saying it every time we're saved from a tzara. So
whoever was started by Luther.
So we mean the halal, it's called halal hamitzvi, in fact, the one that we say on the Shodesh, and Yom Tovim, and those are called halal hamitzvi, as opposed to halal agadol, which is hodul Hashem ki tov, that we say in Shabbos morning davening, this one is called halal hamitzvi, because it's in connection with Yom Mitzrayim. So we're saying, even though later on, David incorporated it into Sefer Tehillim, but he didn't compose it himself, according to this Man D'Omer, he took it ready-made from Nevi'im Shebeinehim, already in an earlier generation, had said that we should say it whenever we're saved from a tzara. So it's considered one of the seven mitzvahs did Rabbanan, even if it was Moshe himself made the takana, it's not part of the Torah that Hashem gave him. Therefore it's considered a takana did Rabbanan. By the way, I mean, so we say it on Hanukkah for that reason. The Gemara mentions in Megillah, on the face of it, we should say it on Purim, and the Gemara gives a few reasons why we don't. Akatya adidach shveira shanan, because the Megillah itself substitutes for Hallel, but the basic idea is, whenever we're saved from a tzara, like it should happen very soon now, we're saved from this current one, for example, then we say Hallel.
We can start now, indeed.
What? Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Gemara mentions, we don't, because those are Yemei Hadin. Since the Eibishter is sitting on Kisei Hadin, so it's not appropriate to be saying. So by rights, so there's a Svara that you should, but the Gemara explains that you don't because of that. Yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Rabbi Yeshua, regular Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania, is a Tani. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is one of the Uli Amiroim.
Mentioned the other day, Yeshua ben Korfa.
Yeah. So the Tosfos brings the possibility that maybe he was a son of Rabbi Akiva. But Tosfos doesn't really like that. Tosfos doesn't really like that explanation on a number of grounds. And they say that, no, it's just his father's name was Korcha, Sam. Rabbi Shrubin, Korcha, according to that, his father's name was Korcha, Sam. But Tosfos brings... Yeah, so he himself was bald, and maybe his father was too. So Tosfos brings the possibility that maybe actually Rabbi Akiva was his father. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ogo'ola. The Rambam finishes off Hilchus Malachim and Hilchus Mashiach by saying that at that time when Mashiach comes, there won't be hunger or war, for the Tovah Tir Mashpas Habe B'chalam Adanim Mitzuyin Kafir. So in other words, when every person has whatever he wants, then there won't be any reason for war anymore, because why do people go to war after all? Is for spoils or to conquer territory or whatever. So that's what Yeshaya means, that they'll beat their swords into plow blades and things, and lo yisa goy or goy cherev, all of those weapons will be destroyed and all resources will be used only for positive economic purposes. As far as the fact that sometimes you have, like now with Hamas, they go to war for other reasons, stand because they want to kill. At that point, that's a tzeruach atoma avimina aretz. That's a whole other matter. There won't be war. There won't be that kind of war because of that. All right, halachas of Shabbos. We begin a new siman over here, siman ayin gimel. This is about what are the conditions under which you're allowed to give work to a goy before Shabbos to do, or to lend him things before Shabbos that he's going to use on Shabbos. So the first din is you're not allowed to have a goy do work for you on Shabbos based on the pasuk kol malacha lo ye'oseh. Ye'oseh is in a passive form, which means it shall not be done. So even to a goy. Now, if you give the malacha to the goy on Erev Shabbos and he's going to do it on Shabbos, there are cases where it's mutter, but there are several criteria for that. Criteria number one is that he takes it out of your house before Shabbos. So you can't have that he's going to be doing work on your premises on Shabbos, even though you gave it to him before. And then in subsequent halachas and in subsequent sifim, we'll talk about the rest of the criteria for it as well.